if God wasn't a bit more severe than He really needed to be. Or perhaps, of course, we do these in secret places. My word, we would never say something like that out loud, that God was a bit more severe than He needed to be. But perhaps you've wondered if you haven't received a rather bad deal from the Lord from time to time. And maybe it got to be so intense you wondered if God was ever going to let up on it. Well, if that's the case, then you've got a problem of coordinating the mind of God with your mind. For there's one thing that I've discovered in the book of Jeremiah, and it's this: that God has such a deep, abiding, and loving care that He wants your mind to be in His mind, that you will have one mind, and He has a wonderful way of doing that. And Jeremiah shows us in a pungent manner how God does that. Now, lost men even know that the caring love of God is a masterful thing, and that a loving God tries always to care for His children in a nice, wonderful, comfortable way. However, Christians don't have it that easy. For sometimes we are not as reconciled to the mind of Christ as we ought to be. And if not, then let me tell you where you're going astray. If you have not yet learned that God's trying to coordinate His mind with your mind, that you might understand His mind, you have not yet learned to grab a promise from the Lord and hold on to it. That's right. The one is indissolvable from the other. One, by just natural action, brings out the other. If a person comes to the place where they say, well, God's going to let me understand not only His will, but what He's doing, then when God gives a promise, all they do is start looking how God is trying to teach them. And this morning, I want to take you to Jeremiah and a very harsh passage of Scripture initially. And then I want to show you that it wasn't as harsh as it appears to be. Chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. We're going to discover three things as we look at these verses. One, we're going to find Jeremiah's complaint. The second thing we're going to find is Jeremiah's confession. And the third thing we're going to discover is Jehovah's reconstruction. And so, Jeremiah's complaint, his confession, and then Jehovah's reconstruction. Look what he says. Lord, do you know what they said about me? They've said, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Give heed unto me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore deliver up their children to the famine, and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows. And let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have digged a pit to take me, and they've hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, you know all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. You know something, when I looked at verse 18, he tells me two things. One, he states the problem. He said, Lord, you know what they're doing? They're having telephone campaigns, and they're getting together over coffee, and they're visiting together about this thing, and they're setting me up. They're setting me up, Lord, and they're setting me up so that they can put me out of business. And you know what they said they're going to do? They're going to smite my tongue. They're going to smite my words. They're going to put me out of business by what I say. And the word smite here is such a marvelous word, for it means to knock something over. You know, I always loved the old cowboy movies when the Lone Ranger would shoot a gun out of somebody's hand. Do you realize how marvelous that was? What kind of shooting that was? I'll tell you, that was so fascinating to see somebody just draw that quick and shoot a gun out of someone's hand. This is the picture of it. To knock something out of someone's hand, or to talk them out of business, to put them out of business by innuendo or whatever. And so I noticed two things in verse 18. Jeremiah, first of all, states the problem. He says, Lord, this is what they're going to do to me. And the second thing that really bothered me was it looked like the prayer champion of Judah's halo had slipped a mite. You know, he's the one that's always saying, now, Lord, I'm standing in place of them. And he's the one who's always praying for them. Lord, don't give them what they deserve. And he continues to pray, and he continues to pray. And the Lord says he's going to deal accordingly with them. And he continues to pray. And he says, Lord, don't do that. But they get on him. And then they get too close for comfort. And now they're on his case. And he says, Lord, they deserve what they get. Lord, just let them have anything you want to give them. They're sorry. Don't hold back a bit. Let them have all that you intended to do. I knew that they didn't want to do the things that you want, but now look at me. I'm their friend. And you see how they're treating me? Lord, they don't deserve to live. Just take care of them as you want. But you know what? God never purposed Jeremiah to end up an old, bitter, sour, contentious man. He was teaching Jeremiah there's intercessory prayer and then there's intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer that doesn't cost you anything is not much of an intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer that doesn't make people mad at you is not much of an intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer that never stirs them up and gets them agitated is not much of an intercessory prayer. For you see, when you have real intercessory prayer, it may just make everybody in the place angry. They may just absolutely be hopping mad with you, and they may be out to get you and put you out of business as quick as possible. So Jeremiah, he just simply says, Lord, I've been the one that's prayed for them, but God's teaching him something, and it's the same thing that's over in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, and I'm going to trust you'll read it when you get home, when the Lord says, you know what I've done? I've let you have problems so I can comfort you so that when other people have problems, you can comfort them. With the same comfort wherewith you have been comforted. In other words, now you're not just praying about it. You know what it feels like. And boy, you can really feel sympathetic when you've been through it. I see you in a cast on crutches now. Folk, I know what that's like. You know, when I see someone who's wandering around here on crutches and they've got a cast from up here all the way to the tip of their toe, I say, bless their heart. I know what they feel like. You see, I can comfort those wherewith I have been comforted. I've been through that old scene. You see, that's what God's simply saying to Jeremiah. He's saying, Jeremiah, now you can understand my heart. Now you can understand what's going on. So Jeremiah says, Lord, let them have it. They deserve everything that they get. You know what? Jeremiah's been a complainer from the beginning. First thing he didn't like was the message he had to preach. He said, Lord, you've brought me to preach a message that I'm telling you right now, if I preach this message, it's going to cause trouble. It's going to cause trouble. Nobody wants to be told that you're going to tear down the temple, that you're going to put their religion out of business and put them out of business, and you're going to let them go down the drain in trouble. Lord, nobody wants to hear that kind of message anymore. That's passé. They don't want the guilt that comes with that. They don't want the problem that comes with that. They don't want the worry that comes with that. Lord, that's a thing of yesteryear. Don't make me preach a message like that. I can already tell you what's going to happen prophetically. I preach like that, they're going to get mad with me. And more than that, they're going to get mad with you. Don't make me preach a message like that. But you know, he would have been a whole lot better if he had just started preaching the message with all fire and zeal. The second complaint that he brings to the Lord is this. Jeremiah says to him, Lord, my concern is this. I would have you to be on your people's side rather than be against your people. This is what he says. He says, Lord, you know why they're angry? Because they're saying, we're going to put religion out of business. We're going to put religion out of business. As a matter of fact, Lord, what they're really saying, in case you don't have an interpretation of what the lost world's saying, is this. We better get things in hand while there's still time. And that's precisely what verse 18 says. They said, come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law has not perished from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor word from the prophet. Let's smite him, let's put him out of business before those things start falling apart. And so they were saying, Lord, they're saying, we better take things into our hand while there's still time. While the law is still in effect and prophets still can prophesy and wise are giving good counsel, because everything's so upset that jeopardy rides around everything. Well, that's what they intended to do to Jeremiah. And to malign his words, his character, his ministry, to where nobody had confidence in him. This third complaint was this. It was against their people. I love over in verse 20, he says, Lord, I have given up everything for them. I don't have a wife. Don't have any children. Know why? Because of them. That's right. Don't have any money? Them. Don't have any ministry, it looks like, because of them. God, I've given up everything for them. And they treat me like this. I can't believe they treat me like this when I've been so self-giving for them. Do you hear what's coming out? Are you getting the picture? Do you remember what God says? He gave His only begotten Son. And He came to His own, but His own received Him not. He gave the best. He gave the all He had. He did not possess anything that He held back that men might be saved. But you know what? They took it and they rejected it. And I got the picture of what was going on. The Lord let Jeremiah become a complainer for one reason. He's about ready to make him confess. Do you know what? Watch out when God's got you on a sour note and every song you sing's in the minor key and you walk around like you've been on a diet of alum water and pickles and you are just absolutely unhappy with everything. Nothing ever is happy. And you get down on your knees and you say, Jesus, I'd just love to be happy once again. I don't know what's making me so unhappy, but I'd love to be happy. If it means doing anything, I'll get rid of whatever it is. If it's him, he's out. If it's her, she's gone. If it's the kids, I'll make them do something. I'll get rid of them some way. We'll send them to camp all summer or something. We'll do whatever it takes so that we can be happy again. Do you know God may be bringing your complaint to be your benefactor. He may be bringing your complaint to be your victory. He may be bringing your complaint to let you come to stage two of spiritual growth. And that's exactly what He's doing with Jeremiah. I read this and I thought, you depressed rascal, you turncoat, you said you prayed for people and now you want them taken out. And the Lord said to me, no, that's not what was going on at all. I just let Jeremiah see what I'm putting up with. And he couldn't take it any better than I thought he could. Do you know why you're complaining? Do you know why I complain? I know why now. Because he's too close for comfort and it disturbs the daylights out of me. I think I deserve a little better than that. And the Lord says, Well, I'm going to take about three notches out of you real quick and I want to show them you what they are. Jeremiah's confession shows the notches that God's about ready to take care of for him. First of all, the first notch he's going to take out of him is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Do you know what self-righteousness appears like in this? And it's really sort of covert the way that it acts. It's sort of in a whole type of fashion, the way it works. But it's simply this way. Jeremiah comes and he says, Lord, now I can't quit praying for your people. I am their intercessor. I am their pastor. And God says, that's marvelous. That's marvelous. God, I'm the only one that's standing up for them before you. You know who he's making the bad guy? God. He's making God the heavy in this scene. He's making God the one who's given all the trouble. He's making God the one who's causing all the turmoil. He's making God the one who's causing all the distress. And so he's standing up praying wonderfully for his people. Till his people treat him like they've treated God. And then he says, I'm getting out of the way and you can have at him. Self-righteous rascal. He's got God, the heavy one. And do you know something? You let trouble come to your house and I'll tell you what you do. You say, I don't know why God treats me like this. You let difficulty come. You let a death, a tragedy take place. And what takes place? You blame God. You never blame the sin. You never bring the crisis. You never blame that which has set this entire world into a maniacal frenzy. And everybody puts the blame upon God. And somebody kind of has to stand up and make a statement protecting God about what's going on. Folk, the problem we got right now is not God. The problem we've got right now is our stinking, low-down, contemptible, destroying, destructive sin. It's not our Heavenly Father, and we do not have to stand and plead His case. I love that word that they use for it. It's the word, a technical term, called tiphilah. And that's where you take your case in and your briefs in and you lay it before the judge and say, here's my case. Now, you make out of it what you think it ought to be. And the Lord says, I'll tell you what I make out of it. You're reaping what you're sowing. You're in the trouble because you've gotten yourself into the trouble. And nobody needs to defend God because it was not God's will that we should sin or we should die or we should perish. But it was God's will that every man should come to eternal life. And He even gave His only Son to give us a second, third, fourth, fifth, and on and to infinitum chance. So don't you lay the heaviness on God. You're self-righteous when you do that, when you say, God's given us the tough time. No, no. He's given you righteousness over against the destructive reality of our own sin that's killing us. The second thing is this. He says, Lord, tell you another thing. I see what you put up with now. Well, he didn't see it enough with himself yet, but he will. He says, Lord, I see what you put up with now. This has been a real lesson to me. I love the way the Lord does that. We get in this kind of syndrome where we think we got to have everything. And so we get in that billfold and that guy says, shall I charge this or will you pay cash? You notice how he puts that? Charge it or will you pay cash? Because see, they can get you for the purchase and then they can get you for the interest. And they want you on both sides. They'll get you coming and going that way, see. And so they say, you want to charge or do you want to pay cash? And so we charge and we charge and we charge till one day we're like the old boy that went to the mailbox and he said, ye gads, I've done it. I've got a bill coming every day of the month now. And so we get to the place where our greed and our avarice puts us into financial disaster. I don't know what the Lord's going to do to get me out of this mess. Folk, He will redeem you if you are redemptive. But God's going to let you see that it's time to quit lusting, lusting, lusting. And He teaches you a lesson in it. Do you know how He gets us to understand His mind? He gets us sick of sin. Do you know how He gets us to understand His heart? He gets us sick of what we are. And He brings us to the place that we are sick with ourselves and sick to our souls of what is in control of us and how we are out of control. And He brings us to the place where we agree with Him. Here's Jeremiah. Lord, you don't have a right to these people, but they go on his case. No, Lord, you've got a right to them any way you want to. God says, you see it my way now, don't you?
You see it my way now, don't you? He says, yes, I see it with the mind and the eyes and the heart of God. This is what you have to put up with out of us, isn't it? And God said, that's precisely what I have to put up with out of you.
What better way to teach us than let us see what's going wrong? You know how God teaches us to hate sin? He lets it devour us. You know how you'll learn to hate debt? When it's devouring you. You know when you'll learn how to hate sin and difficulty in a home? When it's in the home. Do you know when you'll learn how to hate alcoholism? When it affects you. You know how you'll learn to hate all these social sins that are killing us daily? When they come to visit your house. And God simply says, I'll let this sin become so repugnant toward your face that you'll see it with my mind and my heart and my eyes and my spirit. While people are mad with God and they're mad with Jeremiah, what they're doing is getting a vision of what's going on. And Jeremiah makes this confession. You know, I love that word confession. In the Greek, it simply means to admit, to concede. In other words, I see things like God sees it. In the Old Testament, the wonderful word is yada, which means this. To take something and say, gosh, I don't want that anymore. And to throw it away. And do you know the word yada means to throw it away and have a praise time at the same time? It's throwing it away and saying, thank God it's gone. It's getting rid of it and saying, praise the Lord, I don't have to put up with that anymore. It's just casting it away. Yada means, and just coming to the place where you say, praise the Lord, I don't have to have that on my shoulders anymore. Cast away, and the Lord will take it away. And the best thing you can do when you cast it away in the Lord, knowing His heart and knowing His mind, is to have a praise offering about it after that. And a praise time. But most folks say, I wonder if it's gone. That's not the way you do that. You throw it away and you praise Him at the same time that it's gone. And God said to Jeremiah, do you think I'm unfair now? No. Think I'm harsh? No. You think I'm unkind? No. Am I unrighteous? No. Am I unjust? Mm-mm. Why? Because I see what you've had to put up with in me and my people. I deserve anything God gives me in the way of trouble. I don't deserve good. But you know what? That's a self-righteous statement until I can come with the mind of God to say, because I ask for it. I set myself up for it and I put myself in a position for it. That's precisely why Jeremiah is preaching like he is. He's just seeing it like God saw it. He says, well, God, I see what you're putting up with now. Now, quickly, Jehovah's reconstruction. I wonder why God wants us to see as He does. And I looked in verse 23 is the key. Yet, Lord, you know all their counsel against me to slay me. Don't forgive their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them. And here's the key to it. In the time of your anger. In other words, Lord, do what you want to do anytime you want to do it, any way that you want to do it, and you will get no more resistance nor any more interference from me. Now I want you to hear carefully what I'm saying. God will not act. You hear me? God will not act in your life to make you what you ought to be without your permission until it's too late. That's right. Hear me carefully again. God will not act in yours or my life without our permission until it's final. And He takes us out of the world. Now, if you don't believe that, you remember Mary, he comes and he says, Mary, will you have Jesus? And she says, Lord, let it happen according to your will. Remember when Jesus comes to the Garden of Gethsemane and he says, your will be done. It was by permission of Jesus that God could do that into his life. And folk, over in Genesis, when he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, the word there is dune, which means this, my spirit shall not always be overridden with man. There will be a time that I will override man's wishes, but I will not override his wishes unless he, by permission, says, you can come and you can do. And Jeremiah simply comes to the place where he says, God, you do what you will. I'll not interfere anymore. In my life, take it. If you want to kill me with them, kill me with them. If you want to destroy them, destroy them. Because I believe in your work, there is reconstruction and redemption and that which will absolutely put back together what needs to be. But folk, till you let God have permission, he is hamstrung as far as doing something in your life. Father, do with me what you want. When you want, how you want. And you better be careful when you say those words. Because he'll do it. Some of that's painful. Some of that's scary. Some of that puts you in a place where you feel in a precarious situation. Some of it you'll squeal and holler and say, I wish I'd never prayed that prayer. But you'll never know the mind of God, the heart of God, the walk of God, and the Spirit of God like you ought to till you come to that place. Till you see things as God sees them. Till you see your sin as God sees it. Till you see your rebellion as God sees it. Till you see your estrangement as God sees it. And when that takes place, when that marvelous movement comes to where you say, God, reconstruct me. And you've got a free carte blanche to anything you want to do in my life. Then he'll start redoing your life all over again to make you into the image of his Son, Jesus. Some of us this morning, God's brought to be sick of ourselves. There are lost people here who are sick of sin. They're sick of what's going on in their life. They're sick of everything that is destructive. And they come to the Lord and they say, God, please clean it up. Do something. There's some folk here who's tired of inconsistency. You bear the name Christian, but when the first problem comes, it scares you to death because you have no assurance that he's with you. You don't know what the mind of Christ is. You don't know the security of Christ. You don't know the promises of Christ. And it's simply because your mind is not God's mind. And it will take your permissive will to let God work. He will not override your permissive will. I don't know why he did it like that. I don't know why God made us where we have to ask him to do it and where we have to permit him to do it. But he did. And so I would ask you this morning when the Father speaks to your heart during this invitation time, simply say, God, do according to your will. Do according to your love. Do according to your mercy. Do according to your gifts. Do according to your majesty. Do accordingly. Just change me. Quit making excuses. Let's get together right here. Have a praying time. And get free from sin by asking Christ to come in for a lost man. Get free to walking in power by asking Christ to take control if you are a saved man. If you are saved and you have not confessed him publicly, get free to walk in him by coming down here and saying, I have found Jesus. Now I want the world to know and I want him free to do what he wants to do. And by my public profession, I make myself available. Get free by baptism, being obedient. Get free by church membership to be a servant and be one that God can use. Are you in the misery of God letting you know his mind? Do you know how he does it? He makes you think you're a victim. That's right. It makes you think things are going awfully wrong. And they probably are. But you know what I always love about the Lord? They're not going wrong for my destruction. They're going wrong for my reconstruction. He's taking out so that He can build up. And if you feel that awful, that urging pressure of the Lord closing in on you at every place, may I tell you how to get that done quick? By simply releasing yourself to the Lord, saying, I am available. Do what you will. And He will. And I'll guarantee you, upon the promise of God's Word, that He will start reconstructing you for glory, for happiness, and most of all, for the peace that only comes through Holy Spirit action. Why, who can offer a better deal than that? Huh? Would you come today to say, Father, let me see like You do, that I might walk where You walk.